Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkins and Greg Pickle here again. We're sticking with our theme of spring preview, spring breakdown. We've been doing these depth chart breakdowns position by position for, a little over a month now, I think. We're on the defensive side of the ball. We're looking at linebackers now, which is one of the bigger question marks on the roster. You know, Andy was filled in for you. Andy Shea filled in for you last week and really framed it in a way that the entire – going all the way up the middle – of Penn State's defense is a little bit of a question mark. Well, I mean, ranges from a little bit to a big question mark. We've talked about the defensive tackles in the past. There's nothing really new there about trying to iron out that rotation. James Franklin even said it last week when they kicked off spring football, figuring out that 2.5 and three deep there. But the linebacker position is another one where Penn State's got to find some answers, and I think they've got a bunch of intriguing pieces. I'm curious to see how they all come together. You know, there's different guys at different walks of life, and I'll just run through some of the names that highlight that list. But Koa Farmer is a fifth-year senior, is the known commodity. You know, he's the only really known commodity at this point. Cam Brown, as a true junior, played as a freshman, not by choice. Penn State was desperate for bodies as they went through a rash of injuries.
Right.
It has a chance to pay off for him. But again, we've talked about it in a previous segment. 6'5", 222 is not your typical dimensions there. Jarvis Miller making the transition from safety to linebacker. I'm a fan of that transition. I think if the right guy does it, it can happen for him. Cole Farmer is proof that it's not going to be instantaneous all the time.
Right.
Will Jarvis Miller be in position to do it? Now, Jake Cooper, how healthy is he? How healthy will he be? Will he be able to take a down-to-down pounding? One other guy I'll point out before we get into some of the ins and outs and themes here is Jan Johnson. Brandon Smith was able to do it as a former walk-on. Is Jan Johnson the next guy to play a big role as well? I think no matter what happens, Jan Johnson is playing a role. It might be in the second line of defense there. It might be as a starter. We don't know yet.
Yeah, special teams too. I agree that he will impact the Nittany Lions in 2018. Jake Cooper's the other name you didn't mention that maybe he finally shows us something
more.
Did you mention him? Okay, sorry, I missed that.
You were Googling something.
I was. I was looking up Koa Farmer as a recruit because I couldn't remember where exactly he was recruited, but I mean, his journey has been so interesting because, I mean, this is a guy that was he had the athlete tag, and more, I think we're looking at those guys in a different way than we did when Koa Farmer was recruited, because I think back then, or maybe it's just me, but I'm more skeptical of quote-unquote athletes now because of what we saw with Koa Farmer, among others. I mean, Dustin, this is a guy that, well, maybe he's a running back, maybe he's a safety. What if he grows into a linebacker? What if this? What if that? And I think as the athlete tag, it used to be, you know, you were better to be an athlete than a tweener, even though it's essentially the same thing. And so I think that my whole point here to connect all these dots back together is that they finally found a position for Koa Farmer that works for him, linebacker. And it wasn't easy to learn it for him, or at least it didn't look easy based on some of the stuff he did on the field when he first started playing there. But he has pieced it together, and you are correct. He is their best and maybe only known commodity. And then, you know, obviously the guys that are behind him, we've seen a little bit from, but going to have to see more. There's no question about it that all the guys you mentioned certainly need to take a step forward from where they were at this time last year.
Koa Farmer is a good example of Penn State's recruiting strategy at linebacker and the pitfalls, the challenges, and then the upside too. He's all of that in one because he bounced back and forth. James Franklin said he wasn't naturally comfortable in the box.
Yeah.
And that's going to be something that these guys have to prove. And when I say these guys, I talk, like, you know, your Braylon Franklin's, your Braylon Faison Walton's guy, Jarvis Miller, guys who are somewhere between a safety and a linebacker where Penn State has a choice of how to get them going down the development path.
Right.
And Koa Farmer is an example of how imperfect – that process can be. And, you know, you look at the depth there. It's hard work for them to try to develop your Braylon Franklins, your Braylon Faison Waldens into true linebackers. And, you know, that's why I thought the 2018 class was really important, because you got a bunch of true linebackers. You know, you got four of them here to make you think that, yeah, there's a transition that has to happen from high school to college, but it's not really like learning how to be a linebacker.
Right.
It's learning how to take their linebacker skills and apply them to the next level.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that Brent Pry is the work cut out for him. There's no doubt about it. And the one guy that was curious to me, we talked earlier in the show about James Franklin's comments at the start of spring practice, and he mentioned every linebacker possible except for Ellis Brooks, and I was caught off guard by that. And he's a guy that a lot of fans have been curious about. And right now, Dustin, we don't know a whole lot more about him than we did when he was a recruit and sort of a late big get for Penn State out of Virginia in the class of 2017. So I don't know. I think that when you look at everything Penn State's done at that position, there's a lot of names that he mentioned. Ellis Brooks is not one of them. It can only lead me to think that he has work to do. And you mentioned Braylon Faison Waldens, Braylon Franklin. Where are those guys at in their development as well? All of that's going to help us answer the linebacker picture in 2018.
I think those names are names that will be considered bonuses at this point. If either of those guys gets throws their hat in the ring, great. But really, you're looking – and Ellis Brooks, that is surprising. I remember he just looked like – he looked an awful lot like Jason Kabinda as a high school prospect. And it seems like he's got that kind of leadership charisma, just reading the tea leaves, that he can play that role. But he could be a victim of timing here. If he hasn't – you know, this is a really important time for him, because – Jan Johnson is somebody that seems to be valued quite a bit, and Micah Parsons being moved there and being so dynamic, Ellis Brooks has to keep pace here. And, you know, it's not to say that anything would be permanent, whatever happens out of the spring, but he needs to keep pace with those guys and prove that he belongs. And then maybe down the road you can move Micah Parsons around, you can move him to the outside, you can move him to defensive end, whatever. Yep. But right now, that middle linebacker competition, it's odd to only hear two names come up out of it.
Yeah, and just to point out what you said about Micah Parsons and being able to play defensive end, a lot of fans have asked about that too. Why bother with moving him to linebacker? Why not just put him at defensive end? This goes back to the safety conversation with Lamont Wade. Why move Lamont Wade? Well, because Penn State doesn't have someone it feels comfortable with. And I think it's the same question at linebacker. Why move Micah Parsons from end to linebacker? Because Penn State doesn't have someone they feels comfortable with. They want to see what he can do. They know what he can do at end. They want to see if he can put all the pieces together to play linebacker. We'll see if he's able to make that transition or not.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking at the linebacker depth chart for Penn State, really in the early stages of spring practice here. There's things that we know. There's things that we don't know about it. One of the things I thought was interesting is you welcome four freshmen to the mix, Parsons being one of them, Nick Tarburton, Charlie Catcher will be here in this summer, and Jesse Lucada. So those four names, I think a lot of people, you know, what is Penn State? Where does the linebacker fit into the priority list for Penn State's coaches? Is linebacker you ever going to be a thing again? I look at these guys coming in, and it changes how I view the strategy, and it changes, you know, whatever you think about linebacker you, it's part of Penn State's history. Coaching staff changes. The game has changed quite a bit. But these guys coming in make me think that Penn State can maybe try to get back that reputation if they did lose it.
Yeah, right. I agree with that 100%. And I think that they've been very complimentary. I maybe more than most wrote off any idea of Jesse Lucada and Nick Tarburton playing this year. And now, Dustin, it sounds like perhaps those
physically,
guys could
there.
Physically be at the point where at the very least they're special teamers. It'll be interesting to see what Penn State does with them. When you talk about the green light, yellow light, red light system James Franklin has, those guys seem like definite yellows.
They'll be like yellowish green or greenish yellow, however you want to look at it. They'll be somewhere in that group. You know, when you look at the yellow light group, you know the names that have a more upward trajectory,
right,
of getting on the field. They would be a couple of them. That was one of the things, you know, it's a position of need, and it's just seems so rare. Charlie Catcher has a little bit of work to do. I think they listed him at 215, but he was a athlete at Cumberland Valley, a dynamic athlete at Cumberland Valley, wide receiver, runner, return man, safety, all these things. But he's so athletic. He's got a little bit of growing to do. But the other guys coming in are all in that 240 range.
Yeah,
it's pretty rare to have one of these guys come in, be college ready body-wise. You get three of them, and they all get there in January. So it'll be interesting. This conversation could be a lot different about the linebacker depth chart in May, June, July, August than it is right now. We're not sure what these guys have, but I'm a big fan of Jesse Luceda. Nick Tarburton, we'll see if he is a defensive end or a linebacker. But Jesse Luceda is really interesting in this conversation because everything he does it hard. You know, he tackles hard. He runs hard. Everything is fast and physical, and at that body, he's got a shot.
Yeah,
no, he's got a real shot.
No question about it. I think that he's really a guy that when you look at it, well, him and Tarburton, I think that when you look at both of those guys, it just goes to show you what, you know, guys that really focus on their strength and conditioning and the desire to enroll early, and then they get here and have 2 months before spring practice of the college level, you know, strength and conditioning, weightlifting, and then obviously the studies and all that kind of stuff, the off-field, on-field stuff. I mean, I think it really shows that when guys put their mind to it, they can really go a long way toward being in a better spot to play than maybe we thought they were going to be, or at least where I thought they were going to be. So it's a testament to that, no question about it.
And I think college football now, with these powerhouse programs that can recruit and get guys in, it almost becomes a selling point to be burning more red shirts than fewer.
Right.
Ohio State, Alabama did do that at a high level. Penn State could really do that at a high level too, and you'll see if they maybe pull the red shirts on these guys, that a sign of a philosophical change college football wide. Contenders are doing it. They're playing the young guys who deserve to play, and I think that it could really help them in recruiting even more than they already do.
Yeah, I feel like you almost have to anymore, right? I mean, I think that when kids come in and are ready to play, you just never know. You never know what a guy's going to do. Is he going to graduate in 3 years and transfer, go somewhere else? Is he going to come in 3 years and go to the NFL? Is he going to, you know, maybe get hurt, maybe give up football, maybe this, that, or the other thing? You just never know. So if a guy is ready to play, get him on the field. If you're having the kids go through, and most kids at Penn State are, if you're having them go through the process of trying to graduate in 3 years, then what's the point of you're just hopeful that they stay after their 3 years if it works as it planned. So, yeah, to me, get them on the field if they're ready to go and can let them impact the team. Penn State played a lot of true freshmen last year. I think they'll do it again this year.
One last note, bringing it back to the biggest name in this competition, Micah Parsons at middle linebacker. I wouldn't be confused that he's going to be saddled in the box. They're going to send him on blitzes. They did Jason Kabinda, the same thing with Jason Kabinda. Micah Parsons, younger, but a lot more dynamic than Jason Kabinda. Just because he's a middle linebacker, it doesn't mean that he's only there run support. He'll be a unique middle linebacker. All right, that's it for football for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We got Jeff Brown coming up right after this to talk a little Penn State hoops in the NIT. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG. 405-LONG.